amen this morning. Thank you all. Luke chapter 16, if you would. Luke chapter 16. As we look through this true story of the rich man and Lazarus, we had a family visit us last week, and I guess they heard something they didn't like or something didn't happen. Kyle, can you hand these out for me? You never know. I know one thing, that this story, this true story here in the book of Luke, does scare a great many people away because it is the truth and the reality of hell. This world does not want to know that reality. They want to think it's all roses and sunshine. Sunshine and roses, that's the old statement. But I will tell you something, friends, it's not always sunshine and it's not always roses. I mean, we all know that, don't we? It's amazing to me how many people, we never want problems. Oh, no, but they're the best things for you. Luke chapter 16, we're going to be in verse number 19 once again. We're going to be in this little passage for a few little bit of time. Either next week or the week after that, we'll be looking at the reality of hell. And in that also the reality of death. There's doctrine in this that needs to be preached that so many people are not preaching anymore. Much of this doctrine is foreign to people, or they have manipulated it to a point of heresy. There's a lot of that going on, and I pray that we will be in the passage. Luke chapter 16 with me in verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Now, in the first two verses, we know just from this that this is a true story that the Lord Jesus is giving. It's not an illustration. It's not a parable. This is reality. There was a certain rich man, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. The reason why I say that is so many, whether it be in the Presbyterian or the Methodist or the Catholicism or in these other different denominations and all these different cults around the world, they will look at this passage as only a fictitious story. And what that does is that in their mind causes the disappearance of hell and death. But I've been around the earth long enough, just 56 and a half years, to know that death is real. And no, not, hell is not your English class, young people. Hell is not the marriage you're in. And hell is not, no, this real hell is that of a fire that is never quenched, according to Mark chapter number 9. This is real. He mentions in verse number 21, and desiring to be fed by the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, we saw last week in the opposites. This week we're going to look at the similarities. Verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Does that sound like fictitious, or does that sound like reality? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you reject His salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, you will spend eternity in hell when you die. We're going to look at realities. We're going to look at that over the next couple of weeks, but today, similarities. Verse number 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Tell you what happened here. The rich man only wanted those things that made him better, those things that caused him comfort. He didn't want anything else because he saw that his God was the God of comfort. He himself had become his own God and said, hey, all's good in my world. I don't need God. And that's what happens. Christian, by the way, that's what happens in you and I's life. We're not careful. We'll get to the point where everything's going good and we don't need you, God, anymore. You need him in the good and you need him in the bad. Just all there is to it on that one. But Abraham said, verse 25, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into the place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. Now here's something interesting. Moses and the prophets is mentioned. Do you understand the need of the Old Testament for us? And the Old Testament is a gift from God. There are some that believe you don't need the Old Testament. You need the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. And you need the New Testament to understand the Old Testament. We call this in the big cemetery or the seminary words. I call it cemetery. Y'all know that. That is called the canonicity of the Old Testament. What does that mean? The absolute need of the Old Testament. That's what that means. That's all it means. Those are big seminary words. And really, in reality, they're not needed. But in Abraham's bosom, he's saying, look, they've got Moses and the prophets. What's in the Moses and the prophets? It's the promise of the Messiah. That's what it is. Remember the Old Testament saint, they look toward the cross. You and I as New Testament saints, we look back at the cross. That's just the truth. Abraham didn't know his name would be Jesus, but we know from the scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go on with that in verse number 29. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That reminds me, you know, the Lord Jesus died on the cross and arose again. Remember the graves come open? So grandma, grandpa, uncle this, and aunt that, we're going into the town. How many of them you think believed and how many of you think didn't believe? You know what gets me is there were probably some that believed and some that didn't believe. Seeing dead grandma come walking into the city, come to the house, knock on the door. Hey, David, Grandma Nellie. I can hear Grandma Nellie now. David, can you come pick this up for me? Well, yeah, Grandma, I'll be right there. Oh, my word, are you kidding me? Yeah. But that happened when the Lord Jesus arose again. Listen, people are persuaded or they're not. They're shown the truth, they accept it or they reject it. There are those within the, and many within some of the other church denominations that say that you cannot resist the grace of God. They call it irresistible grace. That is not scriptural. There's nowhere in scripture for that. There's nowhere in scripture for the fact you either accept it or you reject it. God does not push himself on you. He believed there is such thing as a free will of men. And there is such thing as the sovereignty of God. And there's a balance of the both according to the scriptures. You'll either receive him or you'll reject him. That's just the God, that's the truth. That's the God honest truth. And that's what happens in the scriptures. So this morning, similarities. What similarities do we see? Well, now this is a no-brainer, but here's what I notice in verse number 19. There was a certain rich man. Now we don't have his first name, but we do have who he was, rich man, a certain rich man. So it's not just a rich man, it's a certain rich man. You know, the Lord Jesus seems to be telling this story from the perspective that he saw all this happen. You have to understand that the Lord Jesus has seen everything, is seeing everything, and will see everything. Because he's God, right? He knows their specific name. He just chooses not to use that name. Could it have been a name that who he was preaching to might have known? Yeah. Could it have been an aunt, or could it have been an uncle, or a dad, or a grandpa, or a friend to some of these people he's preaching to? Absolutely. Matter of fact, while he's preaching this, somebody might be in the audience saying, you know, I know that Lazarus beggar, and I know where he camped out at. Oh, I know this one. So maybe that heart of that individual hearing says, oh, wow, that's real. Beloved, I've heard some old evangelists and preachers say they were thankful that through a preacher preaching one night, one afternoon, they were thankful that that preacher preached on hell. Yeah. Amen. They were thankful to hear of the truth of the fire, the separation from God, sure, but the fire forever. The ever burning and the fire is never quenched, nor the worm dieth not. And continual consumed fire, continually burning and burning and burning. Matter of fact, this rich man says, I just need a drop of water to cool my tongue. And in hell he lift up his eyes in torment. There's a reality which we'll get to. But the names, there's a certain rich man. The name, the beggar, is Lazarus. There are certain names. Now, here's a blessing for y'all. We see it throughout the scriptures, especially in the book of Psalms. He knows my name. Matter of fact, when Sister Rogers has been here to sing that wonderful old Southern gospel song that he knows my name, it blesses my heart. He knows your name. That's right, the God of the universe, creator. He knows your first, middle, and last name. He knows when you were conceived, and he knows the moment you'll pass from this earth. He knows the amount of hairs on your head. He knows about the seconds of the day that you struggle and the seconds of the day that you don't. He knows of every struggle that you have. He knows of all the problems you have with individuals. He knows every problem you have with yourself. He knows when you cut yourself. He knows when you lay down. He knows when you get up. He knows your name. Boy, what a thought. He was concerned enough about David that he sent those bus drivers down 51 years ago to pick him up on the bus. Little David didn't have no money. Wasn't from a famous family, wasn't from a politician's family, wasn't from a judge's family, wasn't from a lawyer's family, wasn't from this family that controlled this or this family controlled that. Just a little bitty family down there, and God sent him down there to pick me and Billy Bob up. My buddy, my friend. What a God. We look over and hold your place there. I want to show you something, Colossians chapter 1. He wants something to do with me. Names are important to God. Y'all realize that? Names are important. Come over here to Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Let me show you something that bless your heart. If it doesn't bless your heart, you're not seeing it. Just keep looking at it. You'll find it. Verse 1 of chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Do y'all realize I am David? Now, I'm not an apostle, but I am a child of the Lord, by the will of God. Do you understand that? He wants something to do with me. What a great God. What a wonderful God that this young boy, this sinner kid, son of John, the Lord Jesus wants something to do with him. Look at verse 4 of this. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints. How'd the word of God get down to your ear? God made sure that it was going to happen. Whosoever is who he died for and arose again for, correct? Amen. And it is whosoever that will hear the gospel or see the gospel and will not have an excuse when you stand before a holy and righteous God. That rich man didn't. But that rich man trusted in his wealth. That rich man trusted in the world system. That rich man trusted in everything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Who'd Lazarus trust in? Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that he knew. Look at verse 5. If you're in Colossians 1, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. He brought the gospel to your ear for it to fix your heart in order for you to have faith to receive him and to believe on his holy name. That's how great a God we have. He knew right where to send that bus captain and that bus driver. And you think about it a minute as you come back to Luke chapter 16. He knew exactly where you were at that moment you were saved. He knew to bring how much of the gospel. He knew when to bring it and who to bring it through. The Lord Jesus had everything to do with the day that you were saved. Now, let me say this. If you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, friend, please don't leave this room not knowing for sure. He knows my name, and I'm going to tell you now, I know his name. And it's not just a swear word. It's not a cuss word. It's just not a by-and-by word. It's a name that saved my soul, and it'll save your soul too. And if you're watching today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is a no-so salvation. It's not a maybe-so. It's a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it becomes a no-so salvation. Ain't no question so. He knows my name, and he knows your name. That's a similarity here. I'm so glad he knows my name. You know how good my God is? My God's so good, he gave me John and Becky Garver to be parents. He knew exactly what he was doing. He gave me Bill and Marion Wiltermuth for grandparents and Nellie Weddle for a grandmother. He knew exactly to give Galen Gove as my aunt. Aunt Glory, she's a little feisty and a little weird, but even she was a blessing. And Aunt Nancy on my dad's side. On my mom's side, Uncle Mike and Uncle Joe. God knew exactly what he was doing. Names are precious to the Lord, and mine's one of them, and so's yours. Y'all listening this morning? Your name is precious to the Lord Jesus. Now, you and I's name cannot save, but I'm glad that my name was on his heart when he hung from the cross. I'm glad that my name and my person was on his heart when he arose again. You know, he prayed for us in John 17. He prayed for you and I specifically when he was in the garden praying in John 17. Those that would be saved because of the apostles' work and the apostles' word, that's you and me. He prayed for us that day. And you know how many he's lost that are his? None. When you get saved, you can't get out of it. You are signed, sealed, and ready to be delivered one day. He writes your name on the palm of his hand. He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't think so? Study your scriptures out. He writes your name. He knows your name. Boy, I'm glad he did that. He loved me so much to send them all down there to pick us up. And then to give us little Debbie cakes. Hey, you don't think God don't give you the icing on top of the cake too? Amen. I heard about it on Thursday. I'd forgot about it, but I like little Debbie's. And our dear precious friend who's going through some things, Nicole, she said, yeah, and even like Big Deborah. Y'all get that later. You got little Debbie and Big Deborah. I'll let y'all just stew on that for a little bit. Remind me, I'll have to get that out. Big Deborah, that's the big little Debbies. Amen? Yeah, they got big ones. Oh, man. By the way, you know, nothing makes me more irritating than anything is one of those little bitty cookies look like a shot glass. About yay big around. Man, give me that one there. Amen? About like that instead of hallelujah. By the way, if you give it to me, we'll praise the Lord anyway. We just have to eat them all in one sitting. Hey, beloved. That's how good. Listen, are you seeing the similarities that are a blessing to your heart? He knows your name. just when you think you're a nobody. And by the way, I don't mind being a nobody. I don't mind going through this life and people not knowing my name. I want them to know the Jesus name. His name's the only one that can save. He's the only one that can give you hope. He's the only one to give you help. There's a whole bunch of people with a lot of different names, and all they do is create havoc, create catastrophe and destruction in your life. Well, names. What's the second thing? Second thing that there's similarity is death. Look at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Death. The beggar and the rich man both died. According to Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 4 and 20, the Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, I would like to burst your bubble a moment, especially those that might be watching or here in the room that think you're all that, then some in a bag of chips. You're not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, I know it's hard for you to believe, but this genius of a man, this extremely handsome man, this great and wonderful orator of the scriptures is a sinner. I are a sinner. You is a sinner. I are a sinner, saved by grace. I've heard a preacher or two, Jamie and I have, well, you're not a sinner saved by grace, you're a saint. Oh, no, friend, let me tell you what I is. I has been sanctified. I has been washed. I has been redeemed. I has been reconciled. I has been given a name. And there's a name in heaven that I don't even know. That's who I is. Elmer. Do I look like an Elmer? I look more like a Jethro or a Leroy. That's right. Grandpa? Yeah, your dad's grandpa was named, dad's dad. Anyway, before I was rudely interrupted, he knows your name, and he knows the very moment you're going to stop breathing on this earth. We're all going to die. Now, what are you going to do with that? There's still a message I'd love to put together, and Jamie and I talked about it years ago. What are you going to do with your dash? Yeah, have I preached? Maybe I've mentioned that thought, but I don't know that I've preached it, at least in that wonderful, and Brother Mike Carson says, you're very eloquent. So, man, don't talk to me like that. I am not eloquent whatsoever. Of course, if anybody's as raw as Brother Mike, he's the rawest preacher I've ever heard. But, beloved, let me get back. He knows my name, and he knows the moment I'm going to die. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, no, that's good. Oh, you mean you're going to stop breathing? That's just horrible. Oh, no, that's good. What? They're going to put you in a casket and going to put you in a grave? And oh, that's terrible. Oh, no, that's real good. Now, I want you to know, I love my wife dearly. If the Lord takes me, y'all take care of Jamie, would you? By the way, church family, that's why we've been helping Sister Jenny. I've been continuing to sending support to Sister Patterson. And a love and a compassion for Brother Mike and a help to our dear sister. She sent us a note and I left it at the house. Forgive me, I think there's a note down here. You know, if we can support her for the next maybe year or two, let her get herself on her feet, figure out what's going on. I think that's a wise thing to do, not only in love for Brother Mike, but in love for our dear sister. Take care of Jamie if something happens to him. I'd mentioned that with my back surgery. You know, we were in there for another extra hour or so on the back surgery. Y'all realize that? You never know what's going to happen. Thank God that God blessed the surgeon and blessed that whole thing. Hey, there's been people go under and never come out. God was gracious enough. But I want y'all to know that death is real. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, are y'all seeing your absolute, through the similarities and through the opposites, your absolute need of Jesus Christ? I don't understand why people would not see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation in Him by grace through faith. It has to be simple. It has to be through the Lord Jesus. It has to be. It has to be. Or friend, you will burn in hell forever. Well, what other similarities are there? Well, there's hunger. Both had to eat and drink. We see that here. Verse number 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. They were both hungry. All right, is there anybody in here that never gets hungry? Raise your hand. Anybody? Nobody. There are some of us that get hungry all the time. I would never name names, Caden and Pastor. But I will tell you this, hunger is a normal thing with the human race. But what do you hunger after? Now, we see here that both had to eat and drink. The rich man had plenty of food, whereas the beggar, none. Is that not true? Has there ever been a day in your life that you didn't eat? Anybody in here? You didn't eat, and it wasn't because you didn't have. But has there ever been a day in your life that you didn't have food? Do you realize how blessed we are? In just a moment, we're going to go have some dinner together again as a family. And God's already provided. Sister Jamie made up some beans, and we got some ham and beans. Glory to King Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've not eaten anything bad since we started having dinner a few years ago, you know, and had dinners off and on. I've not had any bad. Yeah, beans don't like me. My bottom will burp. No, Pastor, that's just flat out. No, I'm not going there. It's a family program. There's just some things I'm not going to talk about, okay? When you got Rumble in the Jungle and Rumble Down Under, should I go on or continue or let's switch back? All right, let me tell you. Hey, there's never been a day in my life that I didn't eat. Now, there has been times when we fasted and prayed and whatnot, but that was a choice. Every day of my life, God's fed us. Now, let's think about feeding time spiritually. You know that most Christians, if not 99% of Christians, are anorexic when it comes to spiritual food. It's because you're too stinking silly and you're not in the Word every day. You are spiritually hungry today. You are malnourished. You have bulimia. There's a lot of times you'll read the scriptures, take in a little bit of bread, and then you're spitting it back out because you didn't like the way it tasted. Is that not true? Or we're anorexic. Beloved, I don't know how about you, but I hunger for the Word of God, that fresh bread and that fresh meat every day. But I sure am thankful. He not only knows my name, He knows the very last second I live, but thirdly, He knows I'm hungry. And I pray that I'm hungrier for the things of God than I am of the things of this earth. In Sunday school, we saw it, and in chapter 16 here, you cannot serve God and mammon. There's a whole lot of times that I love this world's food before I love the food of God. And I do that. I don't know about you, and you do too. We get frustrated. We get sore. We get hurting. And instead of being in the Word of God, we'll just go take a nap. We'll try to forget about all of our problems. Now that I'm getting going again, Doc gave me clearance to return to all life's activities. He didn't give me a green light, but he gave me a yellow light. And believe me, I'm excited about that. I can bend down. I can put my fingertips on the floor. Now, I can't wait to put my fists on the floor because then I'll know I'll be able to put my socks on. Miss Jamie, I got my socks on today, but it sure was hurting. Well, it wasn't hurting. It's just stiff and tired, and I couldn't get. Anybody else have trouble putting their socks on? Yep. You're glad when you can put your own socks on. Or, nah, I won't go there, but y'all know what I mean. You got to wipe your own bottom. Hey, beloved, are you hungry?
Not when you talk about bottom. I'm done being hungry.
She needs her medication. What other similarity in the last? And this is, please, let's look at this over the next 10 minutes. There's a similarity, and it's a choice for eternal life or an eternal death in hell. You say, wait a minute, it's a choice. Yeah. You'll either reject the Lord Jesus Christ or you'll accept Him. He won't force Himself on you. He'll show you the truth of your sin. I mean, we've seen it here today. Who else knows your name? Well, there's a lot of people know my name. Yeah, but did you know that God Almighty knows your name? Well, He's too busy being God. Oh, He knows her all. He's as concerned for David as He is for anybody else, whether it be Don or Karis or Bob or Bill or Kenny, Kyle, Jamie. It doesn't matter. Margie, it doesn't matter. He knows your name. He knows all our names at the same time. That'll flip your wig. That'll blow a gasket between your ears. I have a hard time with names, don't you? Anybody else in here have a hard time with names? I know y'all are perfect. I forgot about that. You get to thinking about a word you want to use, and then you say, man, where'd that word go? It was just right there. And it, out of your brain. Hey, beloved. You make a choice as to whether you're accepting the salvation that's by grace in the Lord Jesus or not. It's a choice of eternal life or eternal death in hell. You see the similarity here? Lazarus and the rich man had that. Lazarus received the truth by grace through faith. How do I know that? Because of where he wound up. Look with me, if you would. In verse number 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, that's the rich man, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now why are they not in heaven? Well, the promise has not come yet. This is the Old Testament saint that's looking to the cross of Christ, who's looking to the empty tomb. They didn't know what all was going on, but by faith they knew that God would send a Messiah. It was by grace through faith. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. David and Abraham believed and was counted unto them righteousness. Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 11, Genesis chapter 15, Psalm chapter 51. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Didn't say anything about having to be saved again. It just says, Lord God, forgive me. Lord God, wash me. Lord God, cleanse me. And return unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lazarus, in an Old Testament setting, knew that by grace through faith that this Messiah was coming. They didn't know his name would be Jesus. They knew it would be Emmanuel. They knew it would be of a virgin, of a Jewish woman virgin like Mary, who is to be admired, but not worshipped. Tell you what, but y'all do realize Mary had more children. Matthew chapter 13, if I remember right, you see James and Jude and their sisters. So there's at least four children, and chances are there were more. Y'all listening? Mary's not a virgin. She's a virgin when the Lord Jesus is born. But after that, her and Joseph have children. But with that in mind, Lazarus had received the truth. How many others had? Well, let me tell you about Nicodemus. Nicodemus went into, and you can put him down for coming in the nighttime all you want. I'm not. At least he went, right? And then he sees the fact that he must be born again. And he questions, he says, man, I got to go into my mother's womb again? Oh, no, 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 Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, I come not in to condemn the world, but by me that the world might be saved. Remember, I've said it many, many times. I'll say it again. It wouldn't have done you and I any good if he'd had double condemned us. You're already condemned one time. And hellfire is real. The rich man trusted in himself. In the story in Matthew chapter 16, walked away sorrowful, that young rich ruler trusted in his wealth. Maybe trusted in his position in life. Trusted in his importance. He trusted in his knowledge and his rocket scientist type of mind. None of that will save you. You can wear the finest clothes and still wind up in hell. You can eat from the finest diners and the finest restaurants and still wind up in hell. Fact is, the rich man trusted in himself. Rejected salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus received, and the rich man rejected. But they both could have made their choice. Now I ask you today, have you asked the Lord Jesus to save you? Do you know that you need to be saved? And if you've been saved, have you praised Him lately for knowing your name? Have you thanked Him lately for the fact that you've never hungered? Have you praised Him lately for the fact that He had defeated death for you and I and sin? Today, my daddy's in heaven. My grandma, my grandpa, and Aunt Gay's there. And, yeah, my Aunt Gay, she's been gone for a while. Long time, actually. Aunt Glory, she rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and lifted up her eyes in hell when she died. Yeah. Uncle Dwight did. Grandma Marion, I don't know if she was ever saved or not. I know she didn't want to talk about it the few times I tried to talk to her. And even Grandpa was saved on his deathbed. And he looked at Grandma Marion. My dad, I wasn't there, but Dad said that he looked at Grandma Marion and said, you needed to be too. Pastor Charlie standing in the room. Telling them she needs to be saved and the Lord Jesus save your soul. And as far as I know, Grandma rejected all that. In heaven's glory right now, Pastor Charlie's up there shouting and running. In heaven's glory, there's so many believers I know. Diane Hires, praising King Jesus. Sister Shirley Grant, praising King Jesus. Yes, ma'am. Brother Mike. Oh, Mikey. Oh, goofball. He called me idiot stick. I said, hey, goofy. He's up in heaven's glory. You will either choose heaven or you choose hell. You will either choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or you are rejecting. Every man and every woman gets a chance. Everybody sees the truth of their need of salvation. It's not that some are. God, by the way, God knows who'll be in heaven, who'll be in hell. But He didn't ordain one person for heaven and ordain another for hell. That's not true. It's whosoever. And believe me, there have been plenty of people to resist the truth of the Word of God. That's why in churches today, and it's not just in our church, but churches across America are empty. Because many of them gave lip service to being saved, but they weren't truly saved. They had not believed on Him. And by the way, let me say to you, you better make sure that that salvation that you have is real. It's not just some little prayer. But it's the truth of, Lord Jesus, save my soul. You're the Savior, and I need You. Save me, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Help me to follow You. By the way, the day you were saved, you were dedicated to the ministry. And there ain't no such thing as rededication. Beloved, it is repentance. Lord, forgive me for not following You or serving You like I should. By the way, did y'all know that you'll never be a perfect believer on this earth? But why not try? Now, I can be a big, perfect pain in the posterior. I don't want to be. But I pray that I, like Brother Paul, I strive. I go forward. That good fight of faith. I press toward the mark. In a glorifying, honoring, praising way for the Lord Jesus. Well, beloved, there's a lot of similarities. Father, help us today to see the truth of these similarities. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. If God's dealing with your heart this morning, maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus, would you let me take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure? I don't know what's going on in your world, and I pray that you are saved. I do. But if you don't know for sure today, I'd love to take a Bible and show you that. I don't want you to walk out of here not knowing for sure. But I pray for you. That you know you're saved by the Lord Jesus. This invitation time, if God's dealing with your heart, you come on. God's dealing with your heart. You just come on up here. Get at this old-fashioned mourner's bench. Ask him for some help. If you don't know for sure, I'd love to take a Bible. Please, let me show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home one day. That's a reality. Heaven's real. But thank God, heaven's so real. God's dealing with your heart. You come on. No one comes in a moment with an invitation, but if God's dealing with your heart, you come on. Please. God's dealing with your heart. Please. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you and I thank you for this time in the Word. Praise you, Lord Jesus, that we're able to do it freely, even today. In a world where Christians are being murdered and killed and they're being thrown around and beaten, thank you, Lord, that we are able to meet together freely here in this place. I ask you, King Jesus, to be glorified in the word and the message. In Jesus' name, amen.